This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Denise and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Woohoo! Not only is it Wednesday, Denise.
It's Thanksgiving Eve.
5 days off.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Isn't it?
And we missed the
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh,
yeah, four days. We missed the bomb cyclone. The big weather.
Lucky us.
It was supposed to be snowpocalypse, early, but I woke up this morning and there was nary a flake. There was nothing. Yeah.
Did you see how big it was on the satellite?
Yeah. Well, the Southern Oregon got hammered with it. I heard I-5 North got shut down at the border. So
yes,
that,
did.
Yeah, we escaped unscathed, luckily. So I'm not anticipating any travel troubles as we make our way over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go tomorrow.
Yes, I got to do that too as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Should be fun.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanksgiving is probably my favorite holiday. I really
besides Christmas?
I love Christmas, but I really love Thanksgiving. I don't know, maybe it's something about remembering to be grateful, remembering to be thankful, getting together over a meal with family and friends that you don't see all that often. And I do love it. And I don't recall having too many, difficult conversations. But this year might be a little bit different for a lot of families. And I think you and I had talked and we wanted to devote this show to kind of depolarizing Thanksgiving and the dinner conversation.
How to have a
civil conversation with Uncle Bill, who could be a little bombastic, and after a couple of Guinness or a glass of red wine, he can get a little belligerent. And so how to do that. And so I am delighted to welcome back to our program Cynthia O'Brien, who represents Better Angels, the Portland chapter. Cynthia, thank you so much for taking time out of your Thanksgiving vacation to join us.
That's great. Hi, Denise. Hi, Dave. Glad to be back with you.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have you. Like I said, I don't recall too many Thanksgivings in my family where things got too heated, and maybe it's because we just avoided talking about politics. But
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and I know, and I've done that. But you know what? A lot of us, everything has become political. And so, Cynthia, I know through Better Angels, there's a lot of skill sheets, tips, and tricks. And so, first of all, I wanted to reintroduce you to our audience, and you sent me some info that I did not know. That I know that you have a daughter who is at U of O and one is at OSU, but you and her husband don't share similar politics.
Right. Yeah, we are in opposite political parties, mm-hmm. and we get along pretty well. We're going to have our 30th wedding anniversary coming up.
Nice.
Impressive.
That's fantastic.
So what's the key?
Oh, the key is, we'll talk about that on another episode for sure.
Oh, okay.
Actually, yeah. Well, I know Better Angels model, it is very much, it's like marriage counseling in a way with the I statements and things like that.
It is. And in fact, Better Angels is named for that quote from Abraham Lincoln in 1861, trying to encourage the country to access the better angels of our nature. And I think that's what Michael and I try to do every day in our marriage.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, even in mine, when my husband and I first got married, we did not share the same politics either. We've sort of evolved over time. But I remember some interesting conversations that we had, and to keep those tips and tricks in mind so you don't end up throttling each other.
Right. And perhaps the key overall as we get into this today, Denise, mm-hmm. is just to remember that that's a person on the other side.
Amen. Amen. So let's just dive right into this. One of the things that I've been looking at is skills for Thanksgiving conversations. I kind of titled this show Depolarizing Thanksgiving Conversations. Better Angels is well aware that these can be tricky. They can be dicey. They can be full of agita. Let's just have you start running down some things that people can do to maybe not get there at all.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing about family is that you don't choose who you're related to, mm-hmm. and the person that is kind of your worst fear, whether that's, a super liberal socialist or a super conservative, Trump supporter or whatever, mm-hmm. that, somebody's fear might be, that can be right there in your family, mm-hmm. and at the dinner table, and it's hard to get away from that. And, hey, these are people that your family and that you love each other. So these tips are, first of all, how to stop something from blowing up at the Thanksgiving table, and then second, how to have a real conversation. So, in answer to your question, mm-hmm. If we start off just thinking about how it might go badly at the table, these are some ways to head it off. And the first one is just to propose a no politics ground rule right up front. Like, hey, I'd like to propose that we not talk politics during our Thanksgiving dinner. Is that okay with everyone? Just, you know, right out there. And then if someone starts a line of conversation that you just know it's going to go badly and you want to be that peacemaker, you could say something like, I suggest we not talk politics during the meal, or, hey, can we leave politics for later and just enjoy the meal? And I think the key to this is to speak in a calm and not blaming tone. It's not to come down on any individual, it's just for the common good.
You mean we can't just say, oh, here we go again, Uncle Frank? That might start another one.
Already going badly. Like, what if it's gone off the rails? The person that has created our Better Angels workshops, Bill Doherty, who's a rock star marriage and family therapist in Minnesota, he says, you know, let's just interrupt and redirect. So one thing you can say is, hey, let's finish this conversation later. Could we just back up, you know, and how is Uncle Bob doing after his surgery? Just to totally change that. Or saying, who else agrees with me that maybe we should change the subject and stop arguing during dinner? And, you know, if people start nodding and going, yeah, yeah, okay, then so let's talk about something boring like the weather or sports. And again, it's to speak firmly and pleasantly, calm, not blaming, without making it personal about the people who are arguing.
And that's important. And also, you know, giving away if it does get a little bit of heated to try to diffuse it and to let people save face, because sometimes people do get heated. You say things in the heat of the moment that you may regret, and then giving people a way to sort of gracefully bow out of the conversation.
Yeah. And, you know, this only works if you have resisted the temptation to talk politics yourself at the table. Otherwise, it sounds like you're cutting off the other side.
Ooh, yeah.
And I think that's really important. You don't get your jab in and then like, oh, now we're not going to talk politics because I got to say what I was going to say. And then you can just back up. You can go, oh, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. You know, let's finish that later.
So now some families do want to go there. And they want to be open with that. And, you know, they may find stimulating. I know, and I grew up, my dad was an attorney. We would dinner table conversation really was for sort of sparring back and forth, good naturedly. You know, someone would play devil's advocate. You take one side, you take another, maybe swap it up and take a side you don't believe in. So what, do you have any suggestions for families that do want to maybe walk down that path a little bit, but to still keep it civil and to still keep it loving?
Yes. Love above all else.
Yes.
And do no harm. That's another thing. In all of our Better Angels workshops, we train our moderators to do no harm and don't let people attack each other. One of the things we recommend is, you know, if a table can work like your table does, Denise, great. But one-on-one is often safer and easier. So maybe sometime during the weekend or during the holidays, you might have a one-on-one with somebody. And we have four do's and four don'ts.
Okay.
And by the way, I have all this on a PDF that I can send to you and that you could share with your listeners.
I've got it. We're gonna link that up in show notes. I made an image file out of it so we can share that with people.
Beautiful. So here's four do's. The first do is try to understand the other's viewpoint before responding with yours. And this is also known as paraphrasing, which lots of us already know how to do. We're just applying it here to this kind of conversation. So you might say, okay, I think you're saying that, or am I getting this right, or what else do you think about it? And you're really focused. You want to hear that other person's viewpoint. The second is to use I statements. This is how I see it, rather than truth statements. This is how it is. To share your perspective rather than making a pronouncement. It is just a much more gracious and generous way to approach it. Even if you know you're right, even if you have facts to beat the band, sharing it as your perspective is super gracious, and it does open the door. And then a third do is find something in common, if at all possible. So I agree with you that, or we both want to fix this. Because if you lead with what you agree with, that kind of softens the other person. Common values, for example. You know, if you have a basic value of fairness or a basic value, that will help. And then a fourth do is to acknowledge what they said, pause, and then respond. And that pause is really meaningful. It means that you're acknowledging what they've said, but then you're going to go a different direction with their permission. And then you're not just making a speech, and then they make a speech, and then you make a speech, but the conversation is really flowing from what you have already heard.
So, Cynthia, those are great do's. Can you stick around for one more segment with us so we can go over the don'ts?
Oh, let's do that.
Okay. All right. Well, you're listening right now to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lindman & Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back, everybody. We are talking depolarizing Thanksgiving, a way to enjoy the holiday, even if things do get a little bit political. And our guest today is Cynthia O'Brien, who is a certified Better Angels moderator. And Cynthia, before we broke, we went through some of the four do's to have one-on-one political conversations.
So let's recap those real quick.
Yeah, let's do a quick recap before we move on to the don'ts.
Yeah, four do's. So when you're having a conversation with someone across the political divide, mm-hmm. someone that's in your family, you care about the relationship, first, try to understand their viewpoint before responding with yours. Use I statements. This is how I see it, rather than truth statements. This is how it is. Find something in common, if at all possible, and then acknowledge what they say before you respond with your own perspective.
I think that's a good one, too, to just take a pause, take a beat, and you know, it's that active listening part that seems to be hard for most people because yeah. so many of us are already trying to form our rebuttal while the other person is still speaking to us.
That's right.
I hear what you're saying, but boy, isn't that gravy good?
Diffusion with gravy.
Right?
There's a tactic for you. Okay, so let's go into the don'ts now. Some things we really should avoid if we want to kind of, you know, keep the peace and have a wonderful Thanksgiving, even if politics does come up.
Right. These are four don'ts. And by the way, if you're very interested in changing that other person's mind, mm-hmm. you still need to do this.
Yeah.
It's not just about everybody's going to be purple or
right.
going to have an opinion,
right.
but you know, we're striving for accurate disagreement.
Yeah.
So the first is don't raise your voice or get agitated. Just breathe. Try to stay calm. Okay. Second, don't ask gotcha questions. Gotcha questions are attacks rather than real questions.
Yeah.
They're questions that put that person in an awkward place that might be an extreme example of something. And it's impossible for them to answer. It's meant more to school them mm-hmm. and put them down.
Mm-hmm.
So don't ask gotcha questions. Try to ask questions that you're genuinely curious about.
Mm-hmm.
Third, don't assign negative motives to the other side. Here would be some examples. Republicans just want to help businesses pollute the environment for profit, or Democrats want to open borders for criminals and terrorists, because then this leads to people getting defensive and a counterattack because no one wants to be the villain.
Mm-hmm.
So don't assign negative motives. And related to that, don't assume that everybody of a certain political persuasion is exactly the same.
Oh yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
you can criticize a certain politician without saying, and everybody else is exactly like that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then fourth, don't throw out labels like racist or socialist or libtard or fascist, because what that does is it shuts down the other person or it inflames them. And you can usually make your point without resorting to a label.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I don't, you know, even that comes up more maybe in interactions. A lot of it is online where you see those
sure.
thrown around. I would hope, unless I would not want to be at a family dinner table where someone felt comfortable throwing those labels around at people that they purport to love.
Right, and I don't think that's going to happen at most
yeah.
of our tables.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen. But these are great principles
Absolutely.
That will help us advance our cause, I think.
Unfortunately, maybe a little too much eggnog may bring out some of those things where, you know, people tend to, you know, your defenses go down a little bit. You're a little freer with your tongue, you know.
And, yeah.
Yeah, so you got to be careful with the eggnog or the vino or whatever.
That's a good tip, Denise. Yeah, a couple of rules. My general rule here with Better Angels is you respect the worth and the dignity of the person that you're talking with. Even if you are absolutely appalled by the views that they express, that person has worth. And then the family rule, just don't let any politician or party harm your relationship with your loved ones.
Yeah, and that's we saw that in 2016, where friendships were fractured, families were fractured because of disagreements on that. And I have a sense, and I think because both of us, we've been involved in, you know, you, of course, much more so than I, but I attended the Better Angels workshop, and seeing the large group of people that were there, I really feel like this is something that is resonating with both sides of the aisle, so to speak, that we see that this is happening and we don't want it to infect our families. And so I'm very encouraged that, especially that you guys have tips and tricks for people to avoid this.
So Denise, what was your takeaway from the Better Angels workshop that you attended over there at the college?
One of the first takeaways I had was I think we all do this. I had sort of prejudged people that I was looking at, and I had some oh moments when I saw what side of the room they went on. I was wrong. Which was interesting. And I talked to some other people. It's like, I would have thought she was over here and he was over here, and I was wrong. So that's a quick one. Don't judge people by what they look like. But how funny that you sort of, you know, internally have these preconceived notions about people that were blasted out of the water. The other one was the willingness and openness of people who were there to engage in the process and seemed very genuinely wanting to and willing to engage.
Yeah, that was good. So that was our skills workshop, Talking Across the Political Divide, which we do bring to communities at no charge. We do it in churches and businesses and libraries and community centers. Then we have coming up a red-blue workshop, which still has openings. Yeah. It's 7 reds and 7 blues in a room with 2 moderators, and that's coming up December 7th. And you can find out more about that on our local website, which is betterangelspdx.org.
Yeah, and I had been speaking with Mike, who is putting that together, and they do need a few more people. I've got one very good friend of mine who has signed up. She's working on a blue, and so we're actively out there trying to get this, to make this happen, because I think this has so much value for our area as well.
And then the newest thing we have is Better Angels Debates, and that's where we get together with a certain resolution to debate, but instead of it being like a presidential debate or like a high school debate, it's a collective search for truth. And so we'll have a resolution and have people speak on either side of it, and the high school Rotary Club in Woodburn, at Woodburn High School, is sponsoring one a week from tonight at Chemeketa Woodburn. And we're very excited about that, and the public is invited.
So are you finding a lot of younger people that are sort of finding their way towards these Better Angels workshops, debates, and things like that?
Yeah, it seems like our audience is getting younger and younger. It really started with more retirement age people that that were interested in it, but at our last national convention, we had a ton of college students there that were very involved, mostly conservative college students, some liberal college students, which was really exciting. And now the high schools are getting involved on the debates because they just think they're fun.
Debate is fun.
That's how I learned to, it was part of the, I don't know, the full roundness of my radio career. Take debate class to learn to think on your feet and to be some kind of format of being respectful.
So the nice thing about a Better Angels debate is once we get most of the people registered, a few days before, we send out the possible resolutions. And this one will generally be on the topic of education, because that's what the kids are interested in. But the resolutions, I think there are 6 of them, that then everybody who's coming gets to vote on which ones they're most excited about and then which ones the room is mostly divided on. Because if everybody agrees, we don't have a debate.
There's no debate, yeah.
And so I will tell you a secret.
Okay.
One of the resolutions that's being considered, and I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but it is resolved that Oregon should pass a law, the same as California did, that high school cannot start before 8:30 in the morning.
What?
Yes.
having been a former high school student, I am so down with that.
And you know all the science behind that.
I do, yes.
High schoolers just, they don't get, you know, their act together quite as early as, say, littler kids do.
Mm-hmm.
And so my understanding is that somewhere in California, if not statewide, that law just got passed, and I should check my facts on that one. but the question is, you know, should Oregon do the same thing? And my husband, who's a high school teacher, says, yes, absolutely. But other people who are concerned with after-school activities and kids who have to work after school, you know, that's a concern also. So that would be a vibrant debate. I don't know if that's going to be the resolution or if the attenders will vote on another one. But I'll give you the link, Denise, where people can sign up for that debate. It's next Wednesday at Chemeketa Woodburn.
Okay, perfect. Are these recorded?
No.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, because it would be interesting to watch the process. I understand the reason for not recording, of course, because you want people to be, you know, to feel free to express themselves.
And the press is invited.
Okay.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
I kind of hope the 8:30, the waking up a little bit later, is the one that's chosen. I think, like you said, that would be a vibrant debate. And there are two sides to that. I immediately went to, yes, of course, that makes sense. But I can see the other point as well.
Well, and the nice thing about the debate is that anybody can stand up and make a speech. And I will be the chair. So I will hopefully be able to keep order in the room, parliamentary procedure and all.
Yes.
And then people can just stand up and speak for or against. And oftentimes somebody will stand up a second time and go, you know, I see it from another side, so now I'm going to speak against it, which is perfect.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's a collective search for truth.
Mm.
Wow. That's going to be fascinating.
I've been out of high school a long time, but I'd be down for the 8:30 start.
I know. I remember having to get up so early, and you're right. When you're a teenager, you know, your bodies have different sleep needs, and there's all kinds of stuff. And that 5:45, 5 o'clock a.m., and then getting, you know, going to school when it's dark, all of that. So
I'm not a morning person, and that really cramped my style. Oh, man. All right, Cynthia.
Well, Cynthia, I want to thank you again for taking time out. I know you've got family visiting you. We really appreciate you. Cynthia O'Brien, again, with the Portland chapter of Better Angels. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, Cynthia.
Happy Thanksgiving, and look at our national website, better-angels.org.
Will do. Thanks very much.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with maybe some personal anecdotes and some stories about Thanksgiving. Right now, you're listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires, and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions, in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Gansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thank you so much, Rich.
Awesome.
Good guy.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, welcome back.
Wednesdays
with Denise.
Kind of like a Friday today for
us. It's Thanksgiving Eve.
It is.
I can't believe, because it's late this year.
Right.
Normally, because I remember, you know what, this time, well, Thanksgiving last year, I had my Thanksgiving dinner in a lovely outdoor open air cafe in Toulouse, France.
What?
Yeah. My son was doing some ministry work in Toulouse, planning a church over there, and my husband and I had gone over for the week to spend that week with him, and so we spent some time in Paris, France. Our trip was bookended by the Gilets Jaunes, the Yellow Vest protests. So when we were in Paris, it was in between the initial one and then the riots that broke out the following Saturday. So we were sandwiched in this little bubble of no protests with the Gilets Jaunes, and that was my Thanksgiving, and I was sitting outside for hours and hours and hours in an open-air cafe, eating bon affit and all kinds of just wonderful foods. And so,
what was the temperature?
It was a little chilly. The big heaters were out there in the market, and so it was very comfortable. I mean, and we had lovely wine and lovely food and lovely company. My son knew a lot of people, and we had people popping in and out joining us for dinner. Hmm. The waiters were wonderful. There's a no tipping culture over there, so we didn't have to worry about that. And so the service, and it was funny, everyone we talked to wanted to know about Oregon. They were so curious.
Interesting.
And they thought that the geography, not realizing, you know, do you know my friend in New Jersey? I'm like, well, no, I'm in Oregon. It's kind of about 8-hour flight away. And it was just interesting conversation and the curiosity. And I wasn't sure how we'd be received over there. And it was lovely. My French didn't really improve. Merci. And that's about it. And
yeah, right.
And pretty much. And luckily, most people spoke English.
But nice.
That's what I was doing last Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for them to I don't know, comprehend that East Coast and West Coast, totally different thing.
Totally different.
For the United States.
Yeah. Very much so. But they were very interested in our politics. And we had dinner in a restaurant in Paris. And our table mates, as it got done, we ended up having six people that were sort of around us and we all joined up. They wanted to know about guns, President Trump, and they thought that our Second Amendment, the one woman I remember, she was from Paris, she couldn't comprehend our Second Amendment. And I remember we had a really very, very good, friendly, warm conversation where they were genuinely curious, wanted to know about us, and it went back and forth. And by the end, it was kind of a Better Angels kind of thing international, because we ended up, she really didn't understand our Second Amendment and my you know, fierce protection of it and wanting to protect it. But she respected it and thought it was interesting. And all in all, it was one of the most memorable conversations I've ever had. That meal lasted 4 hours.
Wow.
In this restaurant. And it was through many, many, many courses of food. And it was wonderful. So that was just an experience over the Thanksgiving weekend, being an American in France over our Thanksgiving.
Nice.
Was interesting.
I wonder how she didn't comprehend.
Well, when we were there, there were on every street corner, there were gendarmes, military, heavily armed with
right.
Semi-automatic weapons. They were everywhere. And I think to her, she said she feels very safe because they are there. She doesn't feel the need to protect herself because the government and the government troops are there to protect her. So it was just a very different mindset that she just didn't understand.
No, it's because
wasn't hostile to it, but didn't understand it.
Yeah, it's because we don't have military standing on our street corners
right.
with M16s.
Nor
all
do
over
I think we want them. And
no.
I spoke to her again about, you know, we hear about first responders, and that's kind of a term I think came in under the Carter administration. I've always considered myself my own first responder.
Sure.
We're going to have to deal with whatever is thrown our way on our own before we, you know, we call 911, sure. But, you know, in between the time then the police get there, you got to deal with it.
Right.
So we kind of talked about that mindset. And they still very much had this sort of wild, wild west feel about us. And they were very intrigued by Oregon. And the questions were great. But again, that was, you know, we really, even though it was an international, one gentleman was from Munich. She was from Paris. Another couple, one was from Burgundy, France. And the other one was from Paris. And it was about finding common ground. And even internationally, in a small little restaurant in Paris, there was some common ground there. So we were able to find that and have a lovely, lovely 4-hour meal.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is impressive.
It was wonderful. It's one of my fondest memories of that trip, other than the cute little Airbnb that we stayed in, which
nice.
Was great. But, you know, just that's talking about finding that common ground, because like Cynthia talked about as well, these are, you know, at my table this year, I'm with family this year up in Washington. And these are people I love and they love me. And we don't want to get into an argument over politics.
Right. Who does?
No.
Really?
No. Except for maybe your most belligerent. But I anticipate there's going to be some sticking points. I have some younger family relatives that are recent college graduates that don't believe the same way that I believe. And there's been some hiccups along the way. And so that'll be interesting to see how we navigate that with
uh-huh.
recent college graduates.
20-somethings?
20-somethings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who we do not share. You know, initially you go into college, you marinate in the college environment, and I'm not going to go in and pontificate on what I think about that. Because,
right.
But decidedly, there's one family member that I have who is younger that we don't agree.
Right.
And there have been a couple of, you know, kerfuffles on social media that led to apologies, which is appropriate. Learning from each other. But I think, yeah, finding that common ground. I don't know about what in your family. I mean, do you have, are there any minefields that you have to stay away from at family gatherings that you're dreading this year? Or
we used to.
You used to?
Yeah. My stepdaughter, she's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So she had all that, I'm just going to say the liberal lean
mm-hmm.
in her schooling.
Mm-hmm.
Up until about a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. I think, we just didn't talk politics
yeah.
at the table at all, you know. It was all about what we've been doing, you know, the great food that she made.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a year and a half ago, it's like the light bulb went off with her.
Oh, interesting.
And she's been a homeowner for 4 years now or something
okay.
like that. So she's learning a lot of the other side, I suppose, because we had a really in-depth conversation one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, or she was spewing stuff about Trump. And I looked at her right in the eyes and I said, do you believe all that stuff that they're telling you? Because I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Look for yourself. look at all the speeches, look at all the stuff he's done, look at all the things that he has said. Mm-hmm. Don't just get it off the mainstream media, because that's just a snippet mm-hmm. of everything that he's ever said. And then go to a full speech and listen to it. And lo and behold, about 2 months after that, mm-hmm. she was like, "You were right."
Wow.
I was like, "What? Let me sit down."
Wait, what?
What?
Clutch your chest. What?
I'm like, "What? You just gave me a heart attack, girl. What are you talking about?" And she goes, "You are right. What they give you on the media is only a snippet, and they twist it the way that they want it to sound rather than what he actually said." And I said, "Exactly. You have to do your homework." Mm-hmm. And most people, unfortunately, don't have time to do that.
Or the inclination. It's easy to sort of go in lockstep with whatever side, which whatever tribe you're in, to just sort sure. of go along. That's much, much easier. And you're right. You do need it. Even if a source you agree with, check it out.
Yeah. I mean, I could hear something on the news, a story, mm-hmm. and I'll go, what happened with that? And I'll look it up. And I'll look at three or four different sources before I go, wow, okay, that actually happened. Because I've had people share on even on Facebook something really traumatic, mm-hmm. but it was from 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh.
And they act like it just happened.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm like, hello, old, not real.
So-and-so
fact
passed
check
away
this stuff. Yeah.
In 2012.
Yeah, fact check this stuff before you forward it on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do some kind of research on it before you do it.
Well, that sounds like quite a conversion. I mean, that's really...
I'm really looking forward to this Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, not necessarily agreeing on everything, but it sounds like she was at least open to listening to you. And again, that's that finding common ground. Because there really is a lot of common ground. Even if you're on opposite sides, you can find common ground.
Well, yeah. You know, a couple of years ago, she was like, "He was an idiot. He should stop tweeting so much." he's acting like a buffoon. He needs to get out of office, blah, blah, blah. And I said, "Stop. You know, where are you hearing all this stuff? Is that what you think or what you feel? I mean, come on. What is it?
That's a good point, too. And a lot of people, you know, base things off of emotion. And I have to say, in all honesty, I don't find Trump the most likable guy. And that's why I've always tried to look at what are the policies. Same thing when Obama was in office. I mean, what are the policies? It's not the person. You try to take it out of the person and focus on the policies.
There it is right there.
Yeah.
Right, you know, you don't necessarily have to like the guy. But what is he doing? And that's the key. Yeah, there's a reason that he was so popular on The Apprentice, right? Because mm-hmm. he was the guy that was like, "You know what? You're fired."
Mm-hmm.
Well, that made him a good boss because he looked at all the facts and listened to the stories before he made a decision. And he does the same now as president. He saw a big problem with our country and he's stepped up. He wasn't a politician, right? So he stepped up as somebody, as what our president should be, mm-hmm. and is doing the due diligence and correcting it.
Well, I'm hoping, because I know, especially on this show, Newsmakers, and I know you and Brent, we tend to focus on the local issues that really matter most, and those are conversations I've had with family members as well. So we're going to come back for our last segment and talk about some of those things, some things to be grateful for this Thanksgiving season.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So right now you're listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Thank you, Mr. Carter Davis, our main guy. He's, you know,
the professional voice.
He's a friend of mine. He lives in Tennessee.
Oh, does he?
He does all the voice work for our station.
He has a great voice.
Yeah, and he does it because of the difference in the time. I'll send him something late in the afternoon, like before a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
He'll send it to me in the holiday.
Oh, no.
Because he works from home.
Right.
So, He gets snowed in. He gets bored. He does the stuff for me.
He still has to work. He has no excuses.
Oh, by the way, this segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Nice.
All right.
All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. I wanted to give a quick update. When we had Cynthia O'Brien on, she had talked about one of the resolutions that might come up at the debate, and it was this school scheduling. And she sent me a quick email. Just so you know, the California, it's the new scheduling statute designed to improve educational outcomes by giving students more sleep. It'll delay the morning bell at a number of schools in coastal Orange County. Some local districts said that they've already begun later start times recently, and they're evaluating the effects. It's legislation. It's California SB 328, and it will take effect over a phased-in period, ultimately requiring public middle schools to begin classes at 8 a.m. or later. And nothing will start earlier than high school will not start earlier than 8:30. So the law does not apply to optional early zone classes. But anyway, I hope they debate that. I think it's great. I mean, I remember, you know, it's been a while since I was in high school.
Been a bit.
But I do remember those awful early mornings and having to get and drag yourself up. And in my case, it was get to the bus at some point before I was driving and ugh, and just being tired.
Yeah.
So
what time did your high school start?
I blocked it out. I don't remember. It was so early. It was really early. 7:45 or something like that. 7:30 maybe.
The first bell was at 7:20, I think, for me.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And 7:30 is when the second one and classes started like at 7:40 in the morning.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
I would think teachers would like that too.
Yeah, I think teachers would love that.
I think they would.
Starting later, but that means they have to be at work later.
Right. Right. So, and parents too, because that would make the end of the day. So, interesting, fascinating. I want to thank Cynthia for updating us on that.
That'll be an interesting debate.
She wanted to double check that law. So,
yeah.
We were talking before the break, you know, as far as politics, common ground, things like that. A good friend of ours and a good friend of the show posted something on Facebook today that I asked his permission. He said I could share it. And it's a great reminder to be grateful. So without further ado, this is from our good friend TJ Sullivan. He said, take the opportunity this Thanksgiving to turn away from the rampant and unending cavalcade of negative news and look with fresh eyes on the mind-boggling abundance and blessings we all enjoy living in America. Honestly, embrace the reality. It's a great time to be alive. Economically speaking, unemployment is at its lowest level since 1969. Hourly wages are up across the board by 5.6% since 2009, and full-time workers are earning 3% more this year than last. Poverty is down to the lowest rate since 2001, with the real poverty rate at 2.8%. These are all things to be thankful for. And with all this abundance, Americans continue to lead the world in generosity. Last year, $427 billion was donated to charity, while 63 million Americans volunteered their time in helping others, totaling over 8 billion hours of service.
Wow.
So he goes on to say, while it might not appear to be so, this might not appear to be so with all the media coverage, the rate of violent crime continues to decline and is down 51% since 1993. And less crime equates to fewer numbers of people in prison. The number of those incarcerated has decreased by 100,000 from 10 years ago. Americans, believe it or not, are also healthier than ever. Since 2000, the number of those dying from cancer has decreased from 168 per 100,000 to 146 per 100,000. The number of Americans smoking is at its lowest level since 1965. And finally, the infant mortality rate has dropped by 14% since 2007.
Wow, those are lots of things to be thankful for.
Lots of things to be grateful for. Yeah. Lots of things to be thankful for. I mean, I look at Thanksgiving, I said at the beginning of the show, it's my favorite holiday because it's a time to pause and to think about what you're grateful for, to count your blessings. And, you know, TJ's post here brings up some ones. These are things to be grateful for. They're good things. All too often, we hear nothing, you know, all we hear is how awful the United States is and, you know, systemic this and endemic that. And it's just terrible. And I just don't go down that road. There is a lot going on. I think TJ's post exemplifies that, provides some, you know, some real strong data. I know I was talking about some of the younger people in my family are kind of, you know, falling into the socialism trap. The socialism really is an ideology of envy and greed.
Ugh.
And it's just not something that we need to go down. And so with, you know, some of the tips and tricks that Cynthia shared, if those conversations come up, we need to look for common ground. These are some great things that TJ shared as far as some real hard numbers that say, no, things are actually pretty darn good.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
Brent sent out something on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
He and I were talking about this. And this week, it's the Thanks Not Cranks Challenge.
Ooh, I like this so far.
Right? For Thanksgiving week, he challenges all his friends to not only post or to only post what they're happy about and not what they're cranky about. We can be a happier community and nation if we focus on the positive and not seek and spread what we are indignant about. Give your anger and frustration a break for a full week. Thanks, not cranks.
I like that.
So I shared that on my Facebook as well.
And that's where we often see a lot of negativity. It's easy to sort of sit behind that keyboard and pound out everything that you're unhappy about. But I think the refocusing on things to be grateful for, the great abundance in this country, how good things really are. Americans are good, generous people. We need to remember that and to be thankful for that and remind ourselves that's who we are.
Well, there's also the take a break from Facebook.
Completely or take a break?
Take a break from social media, especially over the holidays. You know, I'll post pictures of our Thanksgiving dinner and stuff like that, but I'm not going to post anything about politics or anything I might be angry about.
Stay off of Twitter, because Twitter never seems to take a break. Facebook is a little kinder, gentler, maybe. Some people may disagree with me on that. Twitter, on the other hand, is the jungle. Twitter is crazy.
I used to be big on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I have two Twitter accounts. Actually, three.
One
of them is here.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was my old work. And I have a personal one. I haven't been on that. It reminded me the other day that I haven't been on in a while. I looked and it was 6 months since I checked it. So, yeah, I don't go on Twitter a whole lot. Facebook is mostly, I have a couple of friends that are only on Instagram.
Yeah, I have a lot. In fact, most of the younger folks in my family are on Instagram, and I don't see a whole lot of interaction with them on Facebook.
Yeah, so it's
just...
Because
the old farts have invaded Facebook, so they're all migrating over to Instagram.
Yeah, so, you know, however you can communicate with the younger ones in your family, you know, do it.
Yeah.
And just say, you know, I'm thinking of you, I love you. And I'm thankful that you're in my life.
Well, and I think, you know, it's the good advice that Cynthia gave us, the things to be thankful and grateful for and to acknowledge that TJ shared on his Facebook post. Those are all good reminders that America is a great nation, that our families are the most important thing to us. Don't let politics get in the way of that. And for goodness sake, don't let it break up a relationship or a friendship.
Right.
No candidate, no politician is worth that.
No, definitely not.
Nope.
We are in the greatest country in the world.
Yes, we are.
And I'm thankful for that for sure.
And I'm looking forward to a wonderful dinner too.
Oh yeah.
Thankful.
She is a great cook, I gotta tell you. All right.
Awesome. Well, you know, we're going to close out. I want to wish everybody who's listening, first of all, thank you so much for listening. We wouldn't be able to do this without you listening to us. I appreciate you tuning in for Wednesdays with Denise and Dave. And happy Thanksgiving to everyone. God bless.
Happy Thanksgiving, Denise. We'll see you next Wednesday on 1430 KYKN.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.